Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Well, many of our people in our listening audience are aware of what's been taking place with Facebook, and what I'm referring to is the manipulation of the Facebook feeds. We found out that there was some fudging of the feeds that was taking place on Facebook. And people were pretty disappointed and decided to unfriend Facebook as they found out about these things. But there's some other thoughts, I think, that we should have about this subject as well. And this, the other thoughts relate to the future. You know, what about what was going on with Facebook? What does it tell us about the future of social media in general? Phil Kirpin, who is the president of American Commitment, that's AmericanCommitment.com, he has written about this, and he wrote a book, an article that says, Facebook scandal is a warning for the future of the Internet. The opening line says this: many conservatives are waving off concerns about Facebook manipulating its trending news feature because it's a private company. In addition to legal concerns related to the fact the feature was deceptively misrepresented, there is a bigger reason Facebook's conduct should set off alarm bells. The company has long advocated regulatory changes that could eventually make mandatory for the whole Internet the type of content manipulation that Facebook has been imposing on its own site. So they're very powerful, and they're influencing many, many people, especially at that level where we're talking about, you know, the Internet gurus that are in charge of what we actually see when you type in a certain search and so forth. So here to talk us through this issue is Phil Kirpin, and as I mentioned, Phil is the president of American Commitment. Their website is AmericanCommitment.org. That's www.AmericanCommitment.org. Phil, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hey, great to be with you.
Well, Phil, obviously people were somewhat shocked when they saw that Facebook had been manipulating the trending news. Let's just set the table a little bit and talk about, you know, that particular incident, and then we can move forward from there to talk about, you know, what are some of the implications of this.
Yeah, well, this is a pretty big story. It came out a few weeks ago through a liberal website. Gizmodo broke the story, which is kind of interesting. It's a part of the Gawker company, which is a pretty liberal company. But the story came out that whistleblowers who had been working at Facebook said that the trending news feature, which is on the side of the site, which supposedly is supposed to tell you what the most popular stories are that people are talking about on Facebook, actually was hand-edited, and there were hand-selected stories in there, and they both excluded conservative stories that should have been there because a lot of people were talking about them. For instance, the IRS scandal, news about Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, those were some of the examples given. Those were excluded, even though a lot of people were talking about them. And they artificially boosted liberal stories, and perhaps the most outrageous example of this, in my opinion, was that they took Black Lives Matter in the Ferguson protests, which should not have been listed as a trending story at all because almost no one was talking about it, And the order came down from the, you know, top management of the company that, you know, why isn't this listed? We want it listed. And they made it the number one trending story. As it was the biggest thing people were talking about, when in fact it shouldn't have even been listed at all. And, you know, I think that had a big feedback cycle on the whole way that that story was covered nationally. Because if you look back at a lot of the mainstream media coverage, a big part of how they covered that story was this is huge on social media. Everyone's talking about it online. And it turns out that that premise was based on a lie. It was based on Facebook listing it because someone in management told them to, rather than because it was actually one of the top things that was being talked about. And so this is, I think, appropriately, is a pretty big scandal. Facebook tried to do some spin, some PR damage control. They invited a bunch of conservatives up there to Facebook, and they dazzled them and made them feel loved, and they walked out and saying Facebook is okay for the most part. That's what most of them said. I don't think it actually solves the problem, and they are currently, this issue of how they manipulated trending news is currently being investigated by the Senate Commerce Committee under Chairman John Thune. And, you know, some conservatives, as, you know, you read in that open there, I mentioned, you know, some conservatives are saying, now government shouldn't even look into this. Government shouldn't be involved at all with the private company. Well, I disagree with that, and I disagree with that for two reasons. Number one, they were lying to their users, and that's not, lying to people is not part of a free market. It's appropriate that there be an investigation when they're lying to their users. If they had called that section our favorite stories or editor's picks or something like that, fine, you know, dude, put whatever you want there. But if you tell people that it's what's trending, that it's the top thing that people are talking about on your site, and it's actually not, it's actually based on a political agenda, I think you've engaged potentially in a deceptive trade practice. You've potentially violated some consumer protection laws. At a minimum, the Senate looking into it, finding out what happens so the public's aware of that, seems perfectly reasonable to me. So I have no problem with what Senator Thune is doing. But I also think, you know, and you referred to this in the open also, I also think that it's very important that we understand what these big technology companies mean when they talk about a free and open internet, because they're constantly saying we want the internet to be free and open, we want it to be free and open, we want government regulators to step in and regulate the phone and cable companies and make sure that the internet is free and open. And now, I always thought it did pretty well without regulation, that competition was doing a pretty good job of, you know, driving the internet over the past two decades. It's actually, you know, a pretty remarkable market success story in my judgment. But you really have to wonder what they mean by government regulation making it free and open when you see the way they run their own websites, when you see that they run it with a heavy thumb on the scale for liberals. And I went back and I looked at some of the comments around the first version of these so-called net neutrality regulations when it was proposed back in 2010. And that version was struck down in court, and they've now imposed an even more draconian version. But one of the commissioners back then had a statement that was pretty chilling, and you might have it in front of you if you want to read it exactly. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was something to the effect of voices of women and minorities won't be heard unless we change the way the network is designed and managed.
Mm-hmm.
And that just resonated with me when I saw the Facebook story, because that's what they were doing here. They were trying to manipulate, design, and manage the network in a way to make certain voices heard. And if that's what these regulations are all about, if that's where we're headed for the whole internet, that's very frightening, particularly for conservatives, I think.
Mm-hmm. I do have, I think, that quote here in front of me. It says this, can you tell me that minority and women voices on the internet are getting through to major audiences, really being heard, like the big corporate sites? Should we just take it for granted that the small d democratic potential of new information technologies will somehow be magically realized without questions being raised about how they are designed and managed? So I guess they're bemoaning the fact that they don't have equal opportunity to get the message out, and therefore some manipulation is justifiable, apparently, is what they're saying, right?
Yeah, that was a quote from an FCC commissioner, someone on the FCC who voted to regulate the internet when Facebook and these other big tech companies were urging them to do so. And so you really have to worry. I am very worried that we're headed in a direction where government regulators are going to decide what free and open means and what you need to have on your site and if you need to have time set aside for you know, minority viewpoints or whatever. And they could put a heavy thumb on the scale, just as Facebook did on their own site, to support their agenda and the things that they believe in. And, you know, it's too hard to regulate the entire internet. I don't think they're going to be able to stop every conservative site out there. But the big sites, the biggest ones with the biggest audiences, you could easily see falling under the sway of this kind of a regulatory regime. And in particular, you know, I think you know, we've seen a big decline in private investment just over the last year and a half since these new regulations have been in effect. And the FCC has already voted to significantly increase taxpayer subsidies for the Internet. They've expanded the Universal Service Fund spending to the Internet. They've not voted to fund that yet, by the way. They're going to vote for the tax hike to pay for that after the election for political reasons. But I think what's going to happen over time, you know, over the next 5 years or so, is we're going to see a lot less private investment. We're going to see a lot more of our tax dollars going into keeping the Internet up and running. And then we're going to start to hear all these calls for regulation of content, because they're going to say, look, we have economic regulation. We have tax money going in. This is a public network now. This is a government network. This needs to be managed in the public interest. It's got to be fair to everyone. And when liberal regulators are deciding what's fair to everyone, they're going to put a thumb on the scale for the liberal side, as they always do, because they think it's true and just and right, and they think that you and I are wrong about everything. And so I would much rather keep the totally free market competitive Internet that we've had, you know, until last year when this order took effect, and get regulators out of the picture and shame companies like Facebook when they try to do this kind of stuff. But at least if a company just does it on their own, you got a lot of other alternatives, a lot of other places to go. If they go where I think they're headed, and they impose the same sort of system as a regulatory matter, well, that's a very different possibility. The options become much more limited to avoid it in that case. And so I am very worried about where we're headed and, you know, what this says about, you know, where the regulations that companies like Facebook have supported really end up.
Well, I don't know if this is an isolated case with these individual companies as well. It's one thing on Facebook, you know, Facebook's being used a lot of times, you know, to share pictures and, you know, more communication platform between family members and friends and so forth. It does obviously...
Well, that's what my wife and I use it for. We basically post pictures of kids almost every day.
Exactly.
That's all we use it for.
Exactly. And then, so it's not this huge political or conservative platform, I don't think. I think Twitter or something like that might be more powerful. But I'm noticing on other sites, like on Google, where a lot of times I'll go out and we'll Google a certain story or a topic for a story that I'm going to use on a broadcast or so forth. And I've just noticed that the search engine optimization or the search results that come up, they oftentimes are only the ones that are listed on more liberal websites. You know, Fox is way down on the list of the searches that comes up. And I'm just wondering, it appears to me that there's some sort of manipulation going on there on search results as well. Is it much broader than just Facebook?
I'm very concerned about Google as well. I share your concerns there. And Google in particular is a company that has an incredibly close relationship with the Obama administration. Not only did they contribute an awful lot of money to Obama campaigns both times, but they really provided the technology platform for all of the Obama turnout operation. And the head of Google, Eric Schmidt, actually, this is kind of an interesting way they got around the campaign finance laws. They created a new company that they called a for-profit company. And then they put millions and millions and millions of dollars into it and did all kinds of data work and so on. And then they had the Obama campaign, quote, hire them for some nominal amount of money. And they provided them with everything they had built and all the data and so on and so forth. So they got around all of the campaign finance laws that liberals claim to love by pretending to be a for-profit company, even though it was set up, you know, to lose all of the millions of dollars that was put into it, so that it could, you know, share that with the campaign by being a quote-unquote vendor. And so you get this incredibly tight relationship with the Obama administration, which has rewarded Google in almost every policy decision they've made. For instance, right now, they've got a proposed rule that would give Google free access to all of the TV content so that they can offer their own set-top box and compete with, you know, Roku and Apple TV and everyone else. But unlike everyone else, they wouldn't have to license the content. They would be given all of it for free. I call it government-mandated piracy. But they're about to deliver that for Google over at the FCC. They've delivered a lot of other rulemakings very favorable to Google, and they sort of call the shots. And so would it surprise me in the least if their organic search results are not particularly organic but are rather slanted towards their very liberal viewpoint? No, it would not surprise me at all. And, in fact, there have been some political science papers showing that if they choose to do so, Google has the power to move election results 5 to 7 points.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know if they'll do that, but if they do, they can turn the outcome of almost any election, any close election. And so they've got tremendous power, and you know, Microsoft's not the greatest company in the world, but I personally use Bing more than Google just because I don't trust Google very much.
Mm-hmm. I think it was William Leibel who said freedom of press belongs to those who own one. And when we have people who, you know, we notice that the mainstream media, of course, has been very selective and spinning stories towards the liberal agenda as well. I would take comfort and I would say, well, it doesn't really matter that much anymore because now we've got the internet. We can get our own stories out there. You know, you can have your own web page, but now we're seeing that, even that tool is being squelched by the liberal agenda, and there's ways of manipulating that as well, whether it be on a Google search or Facebook or so forth. I just went out onto Google while you were talking, and I went to the news site there, and I typed in Black Lives Matter. And when I typed it in, what do I get on here? But I get how the Black Lives activist was sentenced to 90 days. So it's, you know, they're saying they're being unfairly treated. I'm getting Beyoncé's 2016 Black Lives Matter evolution that she's making. You know, I'm getting Right Wing Watch is coming up on here. So the folks going after the any sort of right wing news that comes out on the subject. I'm getting BET. It doesn't seem like there's any real negative news out there for Black Lives Matter, although there's been a lot of negative stories that have come out of it. So is, you know, is it being manipulated? Well, yeah, I think people have to ask that for themselves when they know that a story has a lot of other negative elements associated with it, and then they're just not finding that in that news feed at all. By the way, I went out on Facebook while we were talking too and just looked at what some of the trending items are. Now, with all the stuff that's going on in the world, I just find it hard to believe, but according to Facebook, the trending items are Paula Abdul. And is number one on the list. Number two is LeBron James. You know, we've just had the terrorist thing take place in Israel yesterday. It's not on the list at all. As
it's
I'm
not
looking
listed
down
at all. That's surprising.
Yeah. Well, I'm going down. I can only see the first 15 or 20 on the list, and there's nothing there yet. But Bristol Palin is on the list. You know, we've got to talk about that. So it's just. It just really makes me wonder if there's little nuances in the way that they can say things where they could manipulate it even further and just say, well, you know, we hold to this criteria and this is how we do our optimization of what's going to come up, and it just didn't fit that, and so it's not going to come out. So we should be really concerned about this, right? I think from an Orwellian sense, you know, where we've got these people like the FCC commissioner who is going to be in charge of what we are going to be able to see and what we can't see. Is that the bottom line to your story?
Well, I hope that's not where this ends up. I hope that people being aware of the risk can prevent that from happening, but I think that's the path we're on. And I am particularly concerned that we're replacing private investment with government money when it comes to the internet, which to me, you know, the internet was basically privatized and deregulated in the mid-90s, and you know, it's been 20 years. It's incredible to me how successful it's been since government took this hands-off approach. And the idea of this administration, and I fear of a Hillary Clinton administration as well, that they can do better if they micromanage it, if they replace private investment with our tax dollars, if they put all kinds of rules and regulations and restrictions on it. Well, I don't think they can do better for me and you and for most people. I think they might be able to do better for their friends that they're going to tilt things towards. But I think that's a very frightening possibility. It ought to be. And I hope it's something we can prevent from happening by, you know, ringing the alarm bell and talking about it. And so I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to bring this to people's attention.
Well, I appreciate you coming on to do that, Phil. Let me ask you one final question that something that baffles me on this is there seems to be the left wing, you know, are people who don't like to have the controls on these things. A lot of people would say, well, wait a second, you know, I want to be free to be able to do whatever I want. Why do those people then seem to support something like this? Is it only because it's being controlled according to their agenda? Is it a, you know, it's not good for you, but it's good for me to do it? Is that the idea?
I think it's a mix of a few things. First of all, I think that a lot of the support on the left for these regulations and so forth are being driven by a handful of very big, very wealthy Silicon Valley companies like Google and Facebook that are cool and hip and sort of can speak for the left and have the ability to be agenda setting and do an awful lot of grant making too, by the way. Google funds tons of left-wing advocacy groups. And so I think part of it is sort of the big corporate interests, you know, having the ability to shape that. Part of it is people hate their cable companies, and the liberal groups have done a very good job of saying we need these regulations or else the big bad cable companies are going to block what website you can go to and cause mischief and degrade your connection, all this kind of thing. I don't think the cable companies would ever try that because people would switch to the phone company or they'd go wireless. I mean, it's so competitive that they'd be crazy to do that kind of thing. But because people don't like the cable companies, these scare stories have sort of pushed them towards in kind of the arms of government regulators. And I think that's been sort of a very effective message to the advocates of these regulations. And, you know, I also think just people on the left trust the government. I mean, you and I don't, but people on the left trust the government. So when they say we're going to regulate the internet to keep everything free and open and fair and wonderful, they believe them. Mm. They think that'll work.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, oh, you know, these people seem to be all against this type of control, but in this particular case, they're willing to vote for it, especially when it comes to the internet. You know, they're pretty tech savvy and so forth, but that makes sense, the explanation that you just gave us for that. Phil, thanks so much for joining us again today to talk about this issue. We really appreciate the writing that you're doing out there at American Commitment.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good one.
Okay. Again, that was Phil Kirpin. Phil is the president of American Commitment, and American Commitment is, you can go out to their website at www.americancommitment.org. That's www.americancommitment.org, and there you can find out about Phil and also read his article that we've been referring to throughout the interview today. The article was entitled "Facebook Scandal is a Warning for the Future of the Internet," and I think he's absolutely right. I think we should be concerned, and we should be doing whatever we can to put pressure upon the lawmakers to keep their hands off of the internet so that it can remain just an open source for us to go out there and share information and ideas and so forth. But you know how these folks are. They're in Washington. Control, control, control.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.